Okay, gang, we're going in. Put your hard hats on. Now light our candle here. As you know, when I speak, I like an open eye meditation. And that's why Leo's been kind enough to give us a candle and light it there for us. And so I encourage you, as you like, to keep your eyes focused on the candle. Not your thoughts, but your eyes. And on this open eye meditation, I like to count. I like to count in on one, out on two, in on three, out on four. And I don't go above four because really, I don't want to lose count. That's what it is. Because if you start going in on five, out on six, and on seven, where was I? Was I on eight? Was I on four? But I find that in counting to four, just on the in-breath, think one. On the out-breath, think two. On the in-breath, think three. On the out-breath, think four. And I just focus on that flickering flame. So let's start with how I like to start a meditation, because I find it life-affirming. And so I take a breath in, and I let that breath go up, and I take on the thought, the Christ in me is awake now. But what is the Christ but my memory of God, my memory of love, my memory of truth, my memory of omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. So those of you who care to, would you please affirm with me, the Christ in me is awake now. And keep breathing. And like I say, let's just have the thought one on the in-breath and the thought two on the out-breath. You know, we'll take our time with it. And the thought three on the in-breath and the thought four on the out-breath, all the while focusing on this gently flickering candle. And the art of this is when you begin to think, and you will think about lunch, you will think about dinner, you will think about your third grade teacher, perhaps, you will think about a myriad of things. And then every time it happens and you realize it, go back to in on one, out on two, in on three, out on four. So let's just be silent while counting to four. So remembering that the Christ in me is awake now, let's start our journey back here. Back here to our sanctuary. Wherever you happen to be, let's call this sanctuary unity. Know that we are joined by all beings in unity. Let us give thanks and come to the conscious realization that what we need is already done. And so it is. Amen. And so I do invite you to try that at home. You know, do it for a longer time, at least 5 minutes, if not more. But do that count with the open eye, looking at the candle. And you'll find that later in the day, you'll know things you did not know before. So right now, Leo is going to present a song of David Friedman's. Let's listen.
Don't Don't be afraid of the dark. Nothing is gonna hurt you. The shadows you see will turn out to be just shadows. Believe me, don't you be scared of the night. Everything's gonna be alright. The sun's gonna rise and you'll be surprised how beautiful things are in a different light. A different light can change the way you look at things. A different light can alter what you see. Fear turns to relief. Joy replaces grief. Doubt becomes belief in a different light. When you're alone in your bed, frightening thoughts can dance in your head. Something you fear or something you hear in the darkness can scare you. Things that go bump in the night sometimes can give you a terrible fright. But it's all in your mind, and you're going to find the world is looking bright in a different light. A different light can change the way you look at things. A different light can alter what you see. Monster's just a chair. No goblin on the stair. You'll see there's nothing there in a different light. So close your eyes and dream sweet dreams and feel the love that's all around you. Nothing scary. Promise you, you're gonna be alright. You're gonna see the world in a different
Leo, Leo Donnell, thank you so much. A Different Light. David Friedman wrote that for, I think it was a children's TV show he wrote called Happiness. There's a hyphen there, Happiness. And it was all about the Nessies, believe it or not, the Nessies. And they were the children's event. It's an adorable TV show. I don't know where you can find it anymore. I used to have the CD somewhere, and it's delightful. So good. Happy Sunday, everybody. I'm thrilled to be here. And my talk title is called Look Again, Please. Look again, comma, please. Look again, look again, look again, look again. I'm going to read something right away here, and it's from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, A Course in Understanding and Acceptance. You'd think I was selling this book, and I'm actually not, but it has made a huge difference in my life, and so I like to keep looking in a different light to see it differently. But so here, Holy Spirit is talking about light in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, starting with verse 12. And it says, no, it's not. It's chapter 3. I went ahead. It's chapter 2, and it's still verse 12. And it says here, when the light is not desired, the light does still shine. We hear that. When the light isn't wanted, the light's still shining. For the light must shine, as that is the essence of light. Where the vision of light is welcomed, it is known. But where the vision of light is not welcomed, it is not known. For each one must see what he chooses to see. The ones who do not wish to see the light will see something else. And they will love what they see, even though they may believe that they hate it. And this is the essence of confusion. Thinking you want one thing when you want another, but know this, what you want must be given to you. So you can know that what you see is what you want. If you see darkness within the world, it is darkness you have asked to see. If you witness the light but do not know the light within yourself, this is the welcome you have given it. If the light seems with you at times and absent at other times, your welcome is not yet consistent. And if you know the light in all that you see and experience, you have opened yourself to it and it has enveloped you. This is why people leave unity. This is what makes unity hard. Once you've been here for a little bit, and you think, oh, it's so love and light, and it's so easy, and everybody loves each other. And then you find out that you are responsible for seeing the light. The light isn't just hurled at you. You know, a lot of times, a lot of people think that it should all be good. Why do these people behave this way? I wish everybody came to unity. Well, I do too, quite frankly, but I wish they would understand it once they got here. You know, stick around a little bit and then see, I'm labeling everything. And I mean, it's hard. You know, it says right here, if you see darkness in the world, then it's because you want to see darkness in the world. And I have friends who will get on a political bandwagon, we'll say. And they will get together and they will trash so many politicians and so many people, I won't call them politicians, but people in politics. And they will bash them. And I hate this, but they actually love talking about it. They love the news. They love getting together for people for a good exchange of hate. And pay attention to that, because if you're one of them, then you might want to rethink your conversations. I have learned in some of those conversations, because David and I have a lot of Zoom calls with other couples and things. And when it starts, I'll let it go for a few minutes because I get it. People need a fix. And then I will change the subject to soup or anything. You know, what kind of soup do you like? What's your favorite soup? I've done that. But a lot of things. Oh, I also saw this in the paper. Oh, I also heard this in the news. Three cats were saved today out of a not burning building. You know, whatever it is. Do you like my blouse? It can be a lot of things to shift that conversation. Sometimes I'll be bold and I will do the equivalent of look again, please. And I will point out, do you understand? This problem you have with so many people is your problem, not their problem. You haven't prayed once about it. You haven't asked to see it correctly. If you've had a prayer, it's been, oh God, please change those people. Oh God, please don't let those people do this again. Oh God. But you'll continue and maintain your conversation about the problem with it. Now, I'm not here to shame anybody. Lord knows I have forgotten myself and my God many, many, many times. You know, 100 today. I don't know if I've forgotten it so much today. I've been in pretty good shape today. Because David and I, we have a new affirmation. Every day we start with, I wonder what wonderful things God has in store for us today. And every day something new and kind of wonderful comes up. It could be what you consider a small thing. It could be what you consider a big thing. Now, it's funny. Last week, I was at a pool gathering. Not a big pool gathering. And I overheard two people who I know love me. and they were discussing me. And the one in particular was telling another friend who I don't see very often things about me that just aren't true. They just aren't. Their perception of his, and but they aren't the truth. And I heard it, and I got started to get upset. Now, they didn't know I could hear it. I'm busy floating. And I thought, well, okay, what do I do here? I thought, oh, pray. So I prayed. And I said, Spirit, tell me what to think about this. And I heard, Sean, you've been studying Four Agreements. You've been teaching a class on it up here. It's not personal. If it's not true, it's absolutely not personal. And I felt a wave of relief, and I didn't need to confront my friends. They were just talking, and it didn't really matter. It just did not matter. And I went on about my business, and I've held on to the story because it's a good story to repeat as a teaching opportunity. But it's not. There's no point, because if that's what one or both of them think, I'm not going to convince them otherwise. And still, I know they love me. They absolutely do love me. And so why bother? And it's freeing. This is new for me. It might be new for you to try something like that, to realize, oh, I'm loved whether people are showing it to me or not. I can't not be loved. And and that was a wonderful surprise that was in store for me that day, you know, to realize, oh, this is, I don't have to react the way I used to, because I'm not who I used to be. I am a practitioner of new things for me, new, you know, at least new for me. And I have, look again, please. So you see, I'm in the pool there, I'm hearing this. And I thought, and it was the equivalent of look again, please. And I went into prayer and I rethought it and resaw it. I have a good friend, someone I've mentored in the 12-step fellowships. And early on in our relationship, he did not want to read the main piece of literature. Some might call it a big book. Now I'm breaking anonymity here, not of the other person, but of myself. But I've done it before. There's no secret, I don't think. My friend has some dyslexia. And he's younger than I am. And he did not care for what we call the old-timey language in the book. And he got quite upset with me. He said, because I kept saying, you have to read this book. It's your foundation book. And I don't want to read the book. It's an old book. I don't like the language. He got really angry at me. And I thought, oh, maybe I'm not the one to serve this person. I don't know. But I pulled away and I just waited and I kept listening. And we had cooler conversations for a couple of days. And then just a few days later, he came to me and he said, I was at a meeting today and I heard a guy sharing and he kind of looked at me and he said, if anybody here has any questions about this program on how to use it, the answers are right in this book. And the guy held up the blue book, the big book. And my mentee, he heard it. And so what he did is he went out and he bought the audio version of the book so he could sit down and he could read the book along with hearing it on audio. And then he could grasp what the words were, that old-timey language with the dyslexic issue. It wasn't such an issue because he could hear it there. And I thought, he looked again. He looked again. Thank you. And that's all it took. And we still, all these years later, we still work together. And we still, both our lives are much better for our relationship. And it's no longer a newcomer and an old-timer relationship. It's someone who's well-established in the fellowship and an old-timer. But old-timers can falter and old-timers can fail. So I need people in my life who, what they say, work a good program, who have a strong desire for the same things that I desire. But we have to look again. When we disagree with one another, it's look again, please. Look again, please. Do I desire light or do I desire darkness? I can have either one that I want. What's important to remember, the light is still shining, even if I've called on darkness for my visuals, for my thinking. And I want to keep calling on the light so that I may be cognizantly aware that the light is shining And it is showing me life as it is rather than as it isn't. We were going to sell our house. We had it on the market and everything, and hardly anybody came to see it. It's a beautiful house. Look at the Sean corner here in my office. But it's a beautiful house, and it's a unique house, and it's a very special house. Many have been here, and one hand maybe who came and looked at it in 2 months' time. So we decided, we said, let's look again, please. And we decided to take it off the market. And we had already put down a deposit on an apartment across town because we were going to downsize. And then we went and looked at that apartment too, and that didn't thrill us. Thank goodness we looked at it right after we decided not to sell the house. We love the house. Yeah, you know, and so we expect our income to rise up to meet and exceed all expenses of the home. But we're not going down the drain, but it's some days it's a stretch. David just had surgery and stuff. And so look again, please. And we looked, and so I had a lot of stuff in our garage, on both sides of the garage, and I've been unpacking it. We still have a storage unit across town. We started in January clearing out the house. I know I'm going on and on about this house. But anyway, we started clearing it out. And so the gift this year was how much stuff we have released and let go. Early COVID, we emptied out the attic. And now last year, we emptied out the basement. We didn't empty out closets, but we cleared out a lot of stuff that we no longer, it's not that we ever needed it, that we no longer emotionally need. And so we live now. I'm bringing some stuff back into the house, but it's funny. The look again, please, is when you say, I cannot do this today. And it's like, look again, please. Is there something you can do today? And there always is. There's something. But there is also, look again, please, and realize, I need to rest. I need to relax. I need to call someone and just say hello. I need to read a book here. I need to whatever. I need to go be nice to David right now. I need to pet the kitties. I need to feed the kitties. Look again, please. What is really needed for you and by you right now? And so what will help you to call forth the most light in your life? Is it to take a walk today? Is it to take the subway? Is it to take a cab? What is it? Is it to refrain from sugar? Is it to buy yourself an ice cream cone? What? Look again, please. We ought never live a life of deprivation. However, deciding not to eat the ice cream is not necessarily deprivation. But to decide to eat the ice cream might be deprivation, if that makes sense. It might be overindulgence. You got to pray. Spirit, tell me what to think about ice cream. Spirit, tell me what to think about eating ice cream. Spirit, tell me what to think. Strawberry chocolate. Spirit, tell me what to think about this. And I always get answers. Look again, please. And so on this lovely day, I really encourage all of us to look at our lives and say, do I desire the light or do I desire the darkness? Look at what we think we hate and say, but do I or do I love it? For those of you who love gossip, you love the darkness, and you're not bad for that. You're probably just in the habit of something else. I enjoy a nice amount of gossip myself sometimes. We may do unloving things, and that doesn't mean we are unloved by what God is or by what love is. We may forget our highest today, and it doesn't mean our highest has ceased to exist. It just means we're not experiencing it because we have called forth something else, probably unconsciously. So, with what unity, I love that Keith said, everything I've learned in unity. Well, between unity and the 12-step fellowships, I have everything I know is that. And then I have some awful experiences from my childhood that I have transformed. I have alchemized. And so to look at all of it and say, okay, well, how would I choose light with who I am right this second? How do I call forth light? Would I desire light right now? Or do I desire the darkness while the light is still shining. Here's the thing. I could leave a light on upstairs in the bedroom and come downstairs. I'll be in the dark downstairs, but the light is still shining upstairs. And so, to use different examples, and it's like, oh, that's what he means. So I encourage all of us to realize we are God's beloved children. God does not have grandchildren. We are all, each of us, God's beloved children. And so the next time you want to think, oh, that poor thing, you'll just remind yourself, that's God's beloved child too. That is God's. I wonder what wonderful surprises God has in store for him or her. I wonder what wonderful surprises God has in store for me today. You know, that person I fear, that person I don't like because I'm afraid of what their principles are displaying. I wonder what wonderful surprises God has in store for the two of us today as I think about this person. I wonder. Look again, please, Sean. Look again, please. And think, oh, wait a minute, that's not a poor thing. That's not an evil being. We are not separate. We are one. We are unity. And so, our ancestors in New Thought have taught us that love just simply is. I just sometimes have to look again to see it. So, in your beingness, as you go forth to be all that you can be, don't negate the confusing pathway sometimes it takes to get to where you want to go, and go ahead and be everything you might want to be. Let's go ahead and listen to Leo. Thank you all.
I have asked Professor Leo to come and present an example. Professor Leo, to present for us today an example of how to be and discern the difference between settling for less. Professor Leo.
Yes, so today's lesson is about how to become your full potential. Do you know what that lesson is?
No, but I hope you'll tell us.
Don't be a leaf if you can be the tree. Don't be a rainbow if you can be the sea. For a leaf may fall, but the tree remains. It may never rain at all, but the sea remains. Better to be the tree and the sea.
See?
Don't be a cloud if you can be the sky. Don't be a feather, be a bird and fly. Clouds roll by, but the sky rolls on. A bird can fly with a feather gone. Bird in the sky, deep, deep blue sea. Don't be anything less than everything you can be. Don't be the sail if you can be the boat. Don't be the lining if you can be the coat. You may lose a sail, but a boat will float. And a coat without a lining is still a coat. Better to be the boat and the coat.
Quote!
Don't be the stick if you can be the drum. Don't be the sugar, be the plum by gum. You can break a stick, but a drum will beat. Without sugar, folks comes about to eat. Better to be the drum by the coat, boat, the bird, the sky, the tree. And the deep blue sea. Don't be anything less than everything you can be. Don't be the moo if you can be the cow. Don't be the furrow if you can be the plow. Cause you can't get milk from a moon, no way. And the furrow's in a rock, but the plow's okay. Better to be the plow and the cow.
Wow.
Now, don't be the sting if you can be the bee. Don't be a two if you can be the three. Sting can make you a honey bun. Take two from three and you still get one. Better to be the three and the bee and the cow and the plow and the drum and the bun. The broke goes first by three and the deep blue sea. Don't be anything less than everything you can be. Don't be the string if you can be the kite. Don't be the darkness if you can be the light. For the string may fall, the kite, 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 kite. Better to be the kite and the light.
Right.
Don't be the tail if you can be the dog. Don't be the bump if you can be the log. You can wag his tail, but you can't wag me without a troop. Ready? Don't it be the dog and the log and the kite and the light and the tree and the bee and the cow. round the clock, and round the clock, and close the doors, and the birds, and the sky, and the sea, and let you feel free. So be everything less than everything you can be.